bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
So glad you're listening to Talk Healthy Today. I like to start each show with just a little story. So today we're going to be talking about the connection between wellness and self-esteem. And for many years, my self-esteem was in the toilet. And part of it was growing up in a dysfunctional home. Part of it was the way I was treated by peers. Part of it was I was very insecure about the way I looked, and I was extremely shy and withdrawn, and I've come a long way, I have to say, but there still are some issues that I deal with, and I'm so thrilled to have the wonderful Dr. Joyce on the program. We're going to be focusing on this, and she is an expert, an image consultant, master life coach, and so much more. Dr. Joyce, so thrilled to have you here on Talk Healthy Today.
It's good to be here.
It's great to have you. So as I mentioned, I mean, I struggled for years. I mean, I was really, really skinny, and everyone thinks, oh, it's good to be skinny. No, I was like grossly skinny, frizzy hair, braces. You know, my best friend was gorgeous, and every guy she tried to set me up with always fell in love with her. And I based that my worth on the fact that I could never get a boyfriend. I didn't have my first boyfriend until college. And it really took a toll on me, and I had to do some therapy and work on myself, and it can be really, really tough. But the interesting thing is I still took good care of myself. I've been interested in health since I was a teen, so it is interesting. But for some people, it's not like that, right? When they have low self-esteem, it does affect their health. Talk to us about that.
I think a lot of people don't know what low self-esteem is, so they can't fix it. And there's so many people who grew up just like you, and I was one of them. You really have to understand about self. That's what got me so interested in it, because I didn't have it. And I wanted to know, how do you get this? How do you get this magical thing called self-esteem? And so I think that it would be great if I can just give you a couple of tidbits about what low self-esteem is versus high self-esteem.
Oh, definitely.
Now you could have a lot of things going in the wrong direction. Like you could have not enough low self-esteem or not too much high self-esteem. It's complicated. It's actually called high self-esteem disorder and low self-esteem disorder. Oh. So definitely low self-esteem, you have social withdrawal like you might have as a kid, anxiety and emotional turmoil, and definitely that would affect your health. And lack of social skills and self-confidence, less social conformity, and guess what? Eating disorders, inability to accept compliments. So eating disorders is right up there with what low self-esteem is. And it's an inability to see yourself correctly, to be fair to you. And really accentuating the negative has been insensitively jumped together or lumped together with bullies, narcissists, criminals, and child abusers. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can.
It's really true. And so research has found that people with genuine low self-esteem tend to treat themselves badly, but they don't treat other people badly. So stopping people from being a bully by trying to lift their self-esteem may be trying to get a obese person to lose weight by feeding them lots more cake.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
It's really worked for me when I was growing up. I love cake now. So it's, you know, it's now clear that too high self-esteem or high self-esteem disorder or too low self-esteem is the problem. And it can lead to criminality, which is scary to me. And so that's why it's so important. I made it my life because it's so important.
So what do you teach people who have the low self-esteem? How do we feel better about ourselves, especially if we've been beaten down?
Well, first of all, we have to identify that they have low self-esteem. And as I said before, if they're a social withdrawal, they're anxiety around groups, they're an emotional wreck all the time, and they would know that. And if they have an eating disorder, it just doesn't come. And you know that as a health expert, it does not come. You have to identify it, and then you have to find out the reason why, so that you don't do it anymore, and then go get help for it. So I teach them about the hundreds of pieces of research that show that bullies and criminals are more likely to suffer from unrealistic low or high self-esteem and impulse control problems. And so it's really an exaggerated sense of entitlement. There's so many narcissistic people out there, and I feel bad for them. I don't like them. I understand them. I understand that they're coming from too many situations that lead to frustration and aggression and antisocial behavior. So, and past conditioning, often, but not always from childhood, can provide low self-esteem in adults.
Yeah, it can. So what can you do? I mean, if you're listening or you know someone who's suffering from low self-esteem, what tips, what actions, what can we do?
I've got a good one. I think just from knowing situations about how people are always telling their children that they're great or wonderful, when they are constantly negative about themselves, doesn't work. So you have to imagine yourself that, you know, somebody tells you that you're lovely, even though they are telling everyone else the same thing. So people with low self-esteem can be upset by these disconfirming feedbacks. And so I tell them to being nice to someone with very low self-esteem can drive them away. People need to develop better self-esteem gradually through proof in the real world. Just being told by someone who doesn't know you that well, or if it's your child, they know you that well, but saying you're wonderful has never found to work in lifting low self-esteem. They have to get that self-esteem on their own.
And you've talked about that before in other shows that I've had you on, that you found your own self-esteem. And how did you do that?
I started to eliminate all the opinions of others. Because people will have opinions. They may not like you because you live in a big house, because you drive a nice car, because you're prettier than they are, whatever the reason is. And there's usually it's a perception of you. I just got rid of all of that once I recognized it. Like I said, it's a decision to look at your life and see what's going on. And I didn't want to live with low self-esteem my whole life. So when I calmed down, I got a healthier self-esteem. And it can emerge like a green island coming into view when mist clears. It's amazing. Mm.
That's such a nice analogy. I love that.
Yeah. And good self-esteem is a product of health. As you know, this is a health show. So when you have a healthy level of self-esteem, not self-hating, but not narcissistic either, then you find it easier to forget about yourself. It's not about you. You only think about your, let's say, your toe if it's hurting. I broke my toe last year, and that's all I thought about was my broken toe. And so it can take care of itself if you eventually feel some pride. It's like sometimes it's better not to give your kids or your friends the answer if they come to you. Give them somewhat of an answer and then let them figure it out for themselves, because if they don't build on their successes, then they can't have a high self-esteem. Does that make sense?
Oh, completely. Yeah, I know. I tend to overdo for my daughter, and I know that's an issue. And lately, I've been pulling back. And she's like, what are you doing? What's going on? I'm like, you know what? Things need to change, and you need to do some things for yourself. You know what I mean?
Right, so,
It's never too late is what I'm saying. She's over. She's 12 and a half, and we're doing it. So,
yeah,
you know,
well,
unless your kid's
you,
like 45,
people,
it might be kind of tough.
A lot of people don't recognize that. So I'd say good for you.
Yeah.
Really, if... The thing is, if you're let's say your toe stops hurting, you don't need to rub it anymore. Feel that you have a bad toe. You really need to say the word I less, the word I.
Mm.
You need to learn how to focus direction away from you, and this becomes easier once they've met their own basic, I guess, emotional needs in healthy ways.
You know, I was thinking about what I said in the beginning, that even though I had low self-esteem, I still took care of my health. I mean, I was into fitness and I was really into swimming and I was into healthy eating, but I still felt bad about myself. So do you see, though, that when people usually have low self-esteem, they're not taking care of their health? I know you mentioned eating disorders, but what other things have you seen?
Well, not necessarily does it one thing have to do with the other. I always exercise from the time I was, you know, 12.
Oh.
I went to aerobics. I did everything I could because it made me feel better. You know, if you get up in the morning, you like what you see, what you look in the mirror, you like your body, Boy, that's a whole show. Body image is so important because most people, a large percentage, don't have a good body image. And so what's been done in the stores and retail is that they have taken a lot of clothing and made it into bigger clothing. So the bigger you get, the you go up in size, and they make money from that. But it's really not what you should do. It's not the way you should go. But, you know, there are different addictions, and there's a food addiction. There's people that have stress addictions. You could have pretty much an addiction to anything, not just alcohol or drugs.
Oh, that's true. I mean, there's sex addiction, gambling. There's all kinds of ways that we can lose ourselves and
you go too far
not deal with our stuff.
Yeah, anytime mm-hmm. you go too far with anything, it becomes an addiction.
That is true. And so what we need to do, I think, and I'd love to hear what you think, I think we need to go to the root of the problem. And if you did have trauma in your past, I think you need to deal with it head on. You know, I really believe you can't go around stuff. You got to go through it. And that, or I mean, I know some people think, well, if you just say affirmations all the time and look in the mirror and tell yourself you're beautiful, I really think it depends on what you've been through in your life. What do you think?
Well, I don't really feel that what the, you're looking in the mirror and telling yourself you're beautiful and affirmations do anything unless you get to the root of the problem. It's okay sure. to get up and say, yeah, not bad for 72. You know, sometimes I'll look in the mirror and say that. No, not so bad. You're pretty sexy. You know, but if you're not for yourself, then who else will be? You know, you have to have your own approval. Mark Twain had a great quote, a man cannot be comfortable without his or her own approval. You need to kind of know that. And the thing is, if only we would sense how important we are to the lives of the people that we meet, our friends with, everybody that we know, how important can you be to people you may never even dream of? There's always something of yourself that you leave at every meeting with any person. So I really feel that getting to the root of the problem, and that the first step would be to recognition. You know, ask somebody, ask your friends, do I appear to you to have a low self-image? They'll say yes. if they met us as children, they'll say yes. And you'll say, what do you suggest I do? And then you start reading about it, and you don't just get opinions, you get facts of what you have to do. I was very lucky because when I was growing up in a family of nine, and I was a mother to my four younger brothers and sisters. I mean mother, diapering them, giving them bottles, the whole thing. And they gave me self-esteem because I knew that I was important because I needed to take care of them. But we didn't have that from our parents. So it's very, very hard to, you know, have a good self-esteem when nobody's giving it to you and you have no time for yourself. And so, you know, you know, that's how I feel about it.
Well, I was going to say that must have been really tough.
It was in very that situation. Tough because low self-esteem is like driving through life with your handbrake on. You know, you don't know what to do. You listen to what other people say. You don't know how to react. You just feel really like a freak. And in my case, with low vision, I felt like a freak anyway because I couldn't see what other people were seeing. And so I would say when I was about 20, 21, I'd say about there, I said to myself, okay, time to separate fact from fiction. And my father used to call me a name I won't repeat. I looked it up in the dictionary. I said, I'm not that. And so I started to make a list of all the things people were saying about me and to me, and then I would make a list of what I can do to overcome it. It wasn't easy, Lisa, but you can do it. Anyone can do it. I can do it, then anyone else can do it.
That's incredible. What a great idea.
Well, I do think if you write things down, do you believe this, that they become, they're not just words on a page, they become real?
Yes.
That's what I did. I mean, it was very simple. Before computers, I had paper and pencil then. And so, you know, we didn't even have these erasable pencils and all that kind of stuff. You just had to write what you felt. And I would write down what everybody was saying about me. Oh, she's cross-eyed, she's four-eyed, she's this, she's that, she's stupid, you're from the other side of the tracks. That's what happened when I got married. I was told I was from the wrong side of the tracks because they wanted him to marry a woman with money or a woman that would contribute. They didn't think I would be able to do that. They were so silly because you know now I'm a PhD. But see, that's what happens when you work on yourself. The sky is the limit if you work on yourself.
I love, you know, Joyce, I know I keep saying I love that, and I don't usually keep saying I love that, but I just, everything you're saying is just resonating, and I would love to know, and I bet the listeners would like to know, too, when did you know that you wanted to help others with their self-esteem issues and become an image consultant and a master life coach and all the other great things you do?
As soon as I did it to myself, I said, wow, I have wasted time. I can't get back. So many years. Feeling I wasn't pretty, I wasn't smart, I was a loser, I'd never succeed. And then when I actually went to the dictionary, sounds silly, but that's what I did. I went to the dictionary and looked up the words and said, why did my father call me that? I'm not that. You know, and I really felt empowered. As soon as I found out who I was and I looked in the mirror, I actually did look in the stand-up mirror. I do that every day because it's important to love your body.
Yes.
And yourself.
Yes.
And really, I really don't like the fact that people judge you on how you look. Some people are just given better looks than others, but some people that have those looks don't have a soul. And so I think the soul is so, in my books from Head to Soul, S-O-U-L, I think the soul is everything. And you can sit across from someone at a let's say, lunch, and they could not be the prettiest person. They could be heavy, but they love themselves, and they will sparkle when they're talking to you, and they make you feel good because of how they're communicating with you. And so that's what I feel. That's when I said, okay, I've always been fashionable. I've always been stylish. I've always liked to take people shopping. I've always liked to communicate with people and try to help them have a better life. So why not get paid for it and go into business?
Yeah.
And I went into image consulting, which turned into impression management, because it's really, it's not just one field that needs image. It's every field. It's every arena of life. I work with bankers. I work with stockbrokers. I work with whatever. People will call and say, what's impression management and why do I need it? Well, you need to manage the impressions you're giving to other people. And in the first 30 seconds, people are judging you on how you look, how you stand, how you pick up a piece of paper when it falls on the floor. I mean, I can go on infinity. But that's when I realized, so I was like, before I got married at 24, I knew who I was, and I was ready to run.
Oh, that's really incredible. I was so lost when I was 24. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I mean, I'd gotten out of college, and I was just drowning. I didn't know what kind of work I wanted to go into. I didn't discover health media until I went back to graduate school when I was 30. And those in-between years, boy, my 20s were tough. So it's really nice to hear somebody actually had it together.
What a waste of time. You know, Dr. Phil always says, you know, you just took 5 minutes of my time. I'll never get back. I love when he says that. And so time is like of the essence. We need to take advantage of the time. And, you know, different levels, different folks for different strokes. My two children couldn't be more different. One of them went through the whole thing with feeling, I don't know how she felt about herself that way because she didn't tell me, but she went to school and got her graduate and then she's a lawyer. And then I didn't want to be white collar, wanted to be blue collar. I mean, because we're all made different. We have our DNA, just because we're born to the same family, is not the same. So everybody takes, some people are late bloomers. Everybody has to do it in their time. You did it in your time, and I did it in mine.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, I think if you look up late bloomer in the dictionary, you're going to see a picture of me. So
I say that all the time about myself. If you look up somebody that never quits in the dictionary, you're going to find me.
Oh, there you Well, Dr. Joyce, speaking of finding you, you are so delightful. The time went by way too fast. I want to have you back because you have so much more to add. But in the meantime, tell us all the places we can find you on social media.
Well, social media is a love of my life. I absolutely, because I'm vision impaired, I bring this world to me, and I read so many wonderful things and get continuing learning all the time. So I'll give you my Twitter handle first. It's at DRJOYCE _, this is a good one, Knudsen, KNUDSEN. So that's at Joyce _ Knudsen, and it's spelled Knudsen, like thinking of a canoe in the sun, and that's how you think of it. And then my website is going to be completely redone, but it is www.drjoyceknudsen.com. Same spelling as for the Twitter handle. Everything will be on my website, so they'll find wherever I'm at. They'll find all the YouTube and the interviews and everything that I've done.
Well, you are a gem, Dr. Joyce, and I have been so lucky. I've been so lucky. I'm tongue-tied. I'm so moved. I'm so lucky to get to know you and have you in my life, and I encourage everyone to check out Dr. Joyce and all her fantastic work. And speaking of checking out, go to RadioMD.com, click on Talk Healthy Today, subscribe on iTunes. Please rate and review. It makes a big difference for the show. I'm so glad you listened, and thanks a lot. Stay well.